Are we ready? What did you do? Pick up the microphone.
Hello and welcome to whatever episode this is of whatever podcast this is. My name is Michael Hing, and I am across from a man who is eating a bowl of pasta that he ordered to his house.
A big bowl of pasta.
Now, interestingly, Ben, you've gone for the Uber Eats from Italian Bowl, I would say, frankly, budget Italian restaurant in the Newtown area of Sydney.
Sure.
But you're not eating out of the Tupperware it came in. You've put yourself in a bowl, like you're trying to...
Put myself in a bowl.
put the food in a bowl.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to gussy
it's called
up
a... Called having a little bit of class, mate. It's having a tiny bit of class. I am eating pasta. That's part of the snack report. Mm-hmm. And so if I start getting, like, listener, if you hear me getting sleepier and sleepier throughout the episode, it's because I'm just ingesting a lot of carbs.
But the reason I bring up the pasta at the top is because we are joined today, guest-wise, by not only a podcaster, and I would say semi-ironic DJ, like proper DJ, but also like doing a lot of like ironic tours, and also qualified chef for many years.
It is the puppet from the Dolmio ads. Would you please welcome him?
Would you please talk about Andrew Levins? As a chef, what do you think of Ben's bowl of shitty pasta?
Well, I used to live down the road from Italian Bowl.
Oh, really?
And I used to always give shit to my housemate because it was the only place he ate at. And
he wouldn't
eat any. All he ate. He was a vegetarian that didn't like vegetables.
Well, that's
And all he ate
was, in some ways, the noblest vegetarian.
The cheese on toast or Italian Bowl, and it was always pesto pasta.
Oh.
And when he wasn't eating Italian Bowl, he was making pesto pasta at home.
Well, hang on.
The house always smelled like pesto.
So he could make pesto pasta himself.
I mean, look, you can't really throw rocks at his house. You could literally put a can of sauce with the pasta you're eating right now.
I didn't have time. I've got podcasts to record. So this is delightful. So yeah, the snack report will be supplemented by a... Because a lot of people have been like... mainly my wife, who started listening to the podcast for the very first time. We've done like... 70 plus episodes, and only I got a text from her like a week ago being like, I've listened to your podcast. You eat so much sugar.
Well, you do. You do. You eat an unhealthy amount of sugar. And that comment has been made by listeners who aren't your wife as well.
Yeah,
for some reason, you value her opinion more than listeners.
I know. Even though I am married to my listeners' ears.
How much money does she put in your Patreon account?
Given that Ben is a podcaster, I'd say whatever rent is on this place we're recording in. Hey, so to supplement that snack report, I'm going to eat the bean bar from
the long-awaited bean bar. Now we've been talking about this bean bar.
This was sent in.
I brought
David
more beans
Cass,
too.
I think either Texas or LA. I can't
LA.
Remember. Somewhere in
LA?
America.
Levins, did you bring in?
I brought two different packets of fava beans.
Oh, wow!
I'm a big bean boy.
You are a big bean boy. What did you bring?
I've been trying to cut down on sugar and carbs, so I only eat protein-based snacks.
Good lord!
Like a real insane person.
Do you lift? But is that part of it?
I do, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. How's the bean bar?
So let me tell you. When you look at that, what do you think those look like? Tiger pops, right?
Oh, I was going to say the poo of a rat.
And I bit into this thinking it was Cocoa Pops, but that's wrong.
Is it sweet or savory?
It's just savory. It's savory and very beany.
It's so weird that we've been talking about this bean bar for close to a month and you were like, that's Cocoa Pops. Like, we're talking about it in terms of it being 100% a bean bar.
It's black beans and peas. That's what I should have expected.
I see what you did there. Like, you know how sometimes you pick up like a glass that you think is water and it's still Sprite? And even though still Sprite is kind of nice, you freak out. Is this a me problem?
Yeah.
That has never happened
I think
to
this
me.
Is probably the problem of a man who keeps a lot of like half-finished cups of Sprite around his apartment.
I like the idea of you using Uber Eats for flat Sprite.
When you just shake it up, then open it, and then sit outside my apartment.
And deliver it to me for 2 weeks' time.
My girlfriend asked me to bring her flat Sprite once when she was ill. Apparently, she said it was comforting when you were ill. And I refused to because the sugar would dehydrate her.
Oh, my God. You fuck off. She's ill. Give her what she wants.
I know. In many ways, the once again, the Spartan upbringing in the Hing household has not served
you
well.
Yeah, exactly. In romance. Now, we have from our... Also, as well as the people who gave us the... The bean bar, friends in LA, they've also given us two types of M&M. And they're two types of M&M that I actually haven't seen widely available in Australia. And I'm going to let you, our dear guest, work out which one you want. We can have M&M's caramel. And I know you're trying to cut down on sugar, so you don't even...
No, I'm all about this. I've been fasting for weeks.
Or M&M's...
Even though Hing only told me yesterday.
Or M&M's peanut butter.
Well, I've had peanut butter M&M's.
So caramel it is. Caramel, I'm going to open it. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't think this is going to complement my pasta very well, but I'm dedicated to this podcast, and I'm going to try one.
We've got to describe that this is the size of a peanut M&M.
It is more or less the exact size of a peanut M&M. What do we think?
Is it a soft center caramel?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good bit of goo.
Oh, that's the gooeyest M&M I've ever had.
Well, you know what? As much as you enjoy that, I'll be happy here with my bean bar. All right, let's get into the classifieds. This is a podcast where we go through et cetera, et cetera. This has been sent in by Melinda.
I just had a bite of my pasta while I still didn't realize that I had a kind of... at least a third of a caramel M&M in my mouth because it was lodged, like it was hiding behind my molar, and I thought I was done with it. And that's a fucking disaster. Can I save you some time as a chef? If you want to combine caramel and a kind of arrabbiata pasta thing, it's a non-starter.
I'm sure it already exists in burger format somewhere in Sydney.
That's true.
All right, so this has been sent in by Melinda, who lives in Queensland. She's a long-time listener to the show.
Yes.
And... it's been posted on a Facebook buy swap sell group by someone called Ruby.
Are you aware of these?
Yeah,
the buy swap sells, because I've said it on the podcast before, but they are like really rich veins for this stuff.
They are the Wild West of this kind of thing,
created with you guys in mind.
Uh huh.
It is entitled "Our Lovely Rat Lucy."
Okay.
And there's no set price.
Can't put a price on a lovely rat.
The first word is free.
Oh, all right.
Must go to a home with no pythons. Sweet, pudgy little Lucy. We regret putting her up for adoption, but we have to as we are moving.
Sweet, pudgy little Lucy, by the way, is how a hungry python would describe this rat.
We are regret putting her up for adoption, but we have to as we are moving. She's very unsocialized, bitey, a bit on the chubby side of things, but not yet fully grown, and aggressive. But we want her to go to the right person, someone without a python.
Is that the only condition they have?
So far, that means someone who can spend time with her and make sure she doesn't spend an unhappy life in a cage. I guess.
Hang on, what?
She's saying she wants you to walk the rat.
Where else do you fucking keep a rat?
A house rat.
Yeah, house rat.
You teach her to do cleaning and stuff.
That's the worst thing
in
I've
a kitchen. I love a movie. Spaceballs.
The Help.
When we let her out, she runs under the bookcase, and then we let her sister out, and she becomes aggressive to her. But it's not her fault. She had babies, and we didn't know she was pregnant when we got her. Oh.
Oh. Hang on, are you saying it's not her fault because we killed her children?
I think maybe.
In front of her?
Python ate them.
I just want my kids back. But despite her size, we can assure you she is not pregnant now. Well, can you? You've been fooled before.
Seem pretty confident first time around.
Well, none of us have fucked her.
By the way, they've included a photo of a rat that clearly has... stock image, like watermarks all over it.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, there's two.
And she concludes the letter. Sorry, she concludes the listing. By the way, the photo isn't of her, it just looks like her.
In that it is a rat.
Yeah.
See, this is troubling for a couple of reasons because it's not difficult to take a photograph of a rat.
No.
Unless, two reasons. One, that rat is so insanely aggressive it can't stay still regardless of shutter speed. Or two, the rat is so horrifying. That to list it online with a picture would mean...
Yeah, would mean authorities would be called.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying, terrifying rat, I assume. But also, why do you feel like they need... If you're trying to sell a rat, don't you just
They're trying to sell it.
Don't you just let it go?
Well, it's very aggressive. I mean, that's like... It's like if they unleash this rat onto the world, they feel like they couldn't live with themselves.
Drop it into a sewer. Is that where rats live?
Pythons live down there.
Oh, yeah. Too many pythons. Yeah.
I also love the idea of like now just like learning from this ad and always specifying that I don't have a python no matter what I'm replying to.
Don't worry. I would love to buy your fridge. I do not have any pythons.
Do you think that the reason that she's had to specify is that she listed this ad before and then it was like when the ivory dealer wanted to buy Stampy? like the person came to their house draped in a python like Liz Hurley in bedazzled. And Nick was like, I'll give a good home to the, and then like,
are you going to feed Lucy to that python?
So, oh, this? Oh, so I'm sorry. I can't drape a python around my neck. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, great.
PC gone, man.
Yeah, it's really 2017, I guess.
If this rat's so aggressive and they're so worried about it being aggressive, why can't it eat a python? Like, why couldn't it take on a python?
Give it a knife. I think you'd need to give it some sort
little,
of tool.
Little rat knives.
It's not bitey and aggressive enough.
Yeah. Mm. You need to level the playing field with kind of technology.
In many ways, Lucy the rat is caught in an awkward mid-ground where she's too aggressive to be caged with her sister, but not aggressive enough to murder a python.
In some ways, you know that that moment at the end of Shawshank when that guy gets out of prison and he doesn't know what to do with himself, so he carves his name into a beam and hangs himself? I think that's kind of what they're thinking.
The beam is a python.
Yeah, well, sure. But I think they like, because they say that she's not domesticated, but she's certainly domesticated enough that they couldn't just drop her down a sewer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. She couldn't survive by herself in the wild. She's institutionalized.
Exactly.
She's learned the ways of the big house.
The weird thing about this is that they're not selling the sister too.
No, because she bites the sister.
No, but like they're saying, they've not got their reasoning straight. Oh. They've not got their story straight.
So well, maybe that one literally is for sale because it's not as bitey and aggressive.
That's true. Well, yeah,
imagine if you're
it's
being
listed at some like really good rat site. Like
premiumrats.com.
Yeah.
Rats.com.
Uber rats.
Imagine if you were a rat being put up for sale though, and you saw your sister was going for like $50.
Yeah.
And you were put up for free but too aggressive. Would that make you take a long hard look at yourself in the mirror?
In this scenario, I'm a sentient, like really sentient and intelligent rat, possibly.
I think this is a world in which all rats are sentient, I should say.
So hang on, who's selling the rat then?
A larger rat? it's a horrible rat trading scenario. Sure.
Lucy's definitely told her sister to check her privilege.
Have we spoken about how in shows there's the arbitrary sentience of animals?
Oh, like in Disney, how Goofy is a dog.
But he has a dog?
Yeah, Goofy is a dog who talks, but then there's also Pluto, who is a dog that does not talk.
Yeah, or like in The Lion King, for some reason, like some animals can talk and some are just like dead shit idiots like they are in the wild.
All animals talk in The Lion King. Oh, no.
Peppa Pig eats chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Do pigs eat chicken?
Pixel eat anything, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, like
a human bug.
There are other bird characters in the world of Peppa Pig. I'm sure all your listeners know.
Oh.
But they have a parrot in a cage, and they also eat chicken at one point.
Oh. Yeah.
That's distressing. That's what I mean. Like, I think worse than, like, in stories where humans and animals coexist, mm-hmm. that's the most distressing. Because in Babar, for example, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure, and I know that friend of the podcast, David Cunningham, is literally seething with rage right now, but I'm pretty sure even some elephants can't talk.
Oh, no, there are like quote-unquote wild elephants who live in the jungle who aren't these civilized quote-unquote elephants.
If I were to watch Babar back.
Yeah. Would it be deeply racist?
Yeah.
I think it would at best be very colonial.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be very
he literally wears a safari suit, does he not?
Yeah, many times.
Ironic for an elephant to be wearing a safari suit because
you know what the most fucked up episode of Babar would be?
A Babar Jumanji crossover?
No, that has got me unbelievably erect. But and that's a shame. It's a shame to work out that's your little niche. No, one where he goes like on fucking safari.
Oh, and he just
shoots other elephants.
Because there are rhinos in that and monkeys.
The rhinos can talk.
There's a monkey can talk as well.
Yeah, but I think there are even within, they haven't even settled on like specific species of animals that can talk. Just some can and some can't.
And what's your solution for all this? All animals can talk or can't talk?
I think that's the only way around it.
Right, all or nothing.
Well, I think the reason they do it in The Lion King, for example, right, is like you can only have sympathetic characters talking. Not character, well, not necessarily sympathetic, but like if like James Earl Jones's character was like, oh, it's a circle of life and we eat the gazelle, and the gazelle was like, sorry, fucking what? Or if like when he was eating the gazelle was like, oh my God!
Do you think
Linda, run!
Do you think Zazu would have been thought of something of a race trader in The Lion King? Because presumably a lot of the lions would eat other birds, and Zazu is there being a, you know.
Oh, really?
Well,
I don't think, I appreciate where you're going with this, but I don't think lions eat birds.
He gets snapped at many times throughout that
movie. That's just in anger. That's not in.
That's more, yeah, that's more like Scar being angry. But right. No, what are you saying lions don't eat birds?
I think that's, look, stop. What you're doing here is you're taking something very reasonable I've said and with that little tone of voice that you have and making me no, they don't eat birds.
Famously, all cats eat birds. Famously. May I remind you of especially cartoon cats and cartoon birds, Sylvester and Tweety Pie, for example.
Okay.
This is well known that cartoon cats and cartoon birds are in a constant struggle for power and dominance.
Fuck. But on to this rat situation.
Oh, yes, back to the rat.
I find their reasoning extremely suspicious, being like, we're moving, and we're moving into a place where we can have a maximum of one rat. That's what they've told us.
Well,
because we're keeping the sister, but not this little one.
So we're giving away the fatter rat, the chubbier rat.
Yeah.
Also, like, you don't need to say that your rat's chubby in the listing, do you?
Do you think someone's going to turn up and be like, sorry, didn't tell me this rat was slightly chubby?
Exactly. I will not have a large fat rat.
All rats are slightly chubby, aren't they?
One, like, I think there must be a spectrum.
Sure, but I've never seen a svelte rat.
Google it now. Svelte rat.
Hey, guys, would you like one to really raise the tone?
Yes.
This one was sent in by Tiamando
Pavlidis.
Pavlidis, thank you so much. And what's great about this is that often our listeners will send in ads and just be like, this is your problem now. which is, I think, the reasonable thing to do in many ways. But this listener has gone above and beyond, and I'll get to that in a sec. But this is the listing. It's from Melbourne, and it's over 15 cum socks used for 7 years.
Oh.
Over 15 cum socks used for 7 years. And the asking price here...
They want money for this.
This is like, there's a lot to unpack, but the asking price is
mostly
really
cum from a sock.
The asking price is $6,000 Australian
per sock or all up.
I think it's all up.
All up. So what's that? That's like $400. Is that $400 a sock?
I think so.
That's insane.
But see, this is weird because the copy gets odd because the headline is over 15 cum socks, and then the first line is I have over 20 socks. So
they're rapidly reproducing.
Yeah, that I have ejaculated in for over 7 years, a countless amount of ejaculation in about each sock. Can provide a picture on request from a young teen to a now young adult. It's unfortunate. These socks are very, very used and have been kept in a box for this long period of time.
No, why did you keep them in a box?
Hang on.
Why did you come into a sock?
Yeah, I think of all the things to take issue with, some sort of container for these things.
Only thoughtful thing about this entire situation.
Exactly. It's strewn around his house.
If you have to jerk up into a sock, why don't you throw the socks out or wash them?
Well, because he saw a business opportunity. He says
an eventual business opportunity.
Yeah.
What a long play.
He says a never before seen sale. Requests are not allowed. I don't know what that means. Simply selling and getting rid of them. Okay. Price is negotiable. I think you will find that there's some negotiation here. A very rare sale that fills various criteria for many fantasies.
Name one fantasy that would be fulfilled by 15 socks filled with cum.
I think somebody who can't count coming into a sock for 7 years and me paying too much money for it would be a fantasy that would be... This is 100% legit, serious offers only. So then our listener got in contact. Or her friend got in contact, I think.
And asked for the pictures?
His friend.
And then his friend got in contact and asked for the pictures. And...
this person has sent back a picture of the cum-filled socks. So this is not a... This is a real... Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And they've gotten in touch and they've gotten the socks and it's one of the most, and the caption is one of the most socks, used socks of the lot. I have 20 socks with about 2 to 4 in this condition. You can see only 2 to 4 of them are in this condition.
Oh, they're crusty.
And this person who's our listener actually blacked out the image or kind of scribbled out the image. I mean, you can make out that there are socks, but I think she correctly determined that this was in many ways like the video from The Ring and didn't want to sort of put this on us. And the reply was just ack. Look, I mean, on this podcast, I think we try to stay reasonably sex positive. And this really is in the criteria of like you do you, consenting adults, et cetera, et cetera. But come on.
You know what? No, you know what fucking pisses me off about this?
Go on.
$6,000. Yeah. If you have to jerk off into socks for 7 years and not throw them away, if you absolutely must do that, the gall to think someone would pay $6,000 for that's a small car.
What?
That is a small car for your used jerk socks. That is
imagine like
the audacity, the imagine sheer like a, audacity.
In a modern twist on a classic fairy tale, let's say that Jack's mum sends her to the market to buy a small car. She meets a pervert on the way. Comes back and these are useless jizz socks, and then throws it, and there's a jizz
stalk. A cum stalk, yeah. I want to know is like why 7 years? Why not keep going?
7 years?
That's your question?
But I mean what suddenly he was like, that'll do.
Because he does
that'll do me.
As the prophecy said, 7 years is enough.
See, that's what's interesting, because like simply selling and getting rid of them, it sounds like he woke up one morning, he's like, oh my god, I have a box of cum socks.
No, I think he's been caught.
I know an aggressive rat who might like to live in that box.
I have a feeling he's been caught. I have a feeling that he's gotten married or has got a girlfriend or boyfriend for the first time.
I find both of those scenarios unlikely, but go on.
Well, someone's come to the house for some reason, and he has gone all in with, like, you know how someone comes over to your house and you're like, hey, you should check out my CDs, here are my books. Yeah. Here, like, well, you have all these like weird nesting things that you show off to people.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you're in your early 20s, right?
Yeah.
You're like,
check out my records. Yeah. Put anything on you like.
Look at all these. What? That many Blu-rays? What, yeah. Yeah. Does he? Yeah. He has that many Blu-rays. He's pretty cool.
This guy's got the Criterion collection of cum socks.
Oh man, you know, like I very rarely
that has broken me. Criterion collection of cum socks.
It's very rare that I will put an explicit tag on one of our podcasts, just because it does very bad things for our metrics. But
does it really?
Yeah, but I think I'm gonna.
I take pride in it.
I think in good conscience I have to.
Just the idea of a bunch of look, we need a way to obviously people aren't buying Blu-rays anymore. I mean, everyone's just streaming stuff online, so we need a new product to sell. Yeah. What have you got for us today? Well, let me tell you, we've gone through DVDs.
What can't be streamed?
Someone at Madman is like, we've done anime, we've done cartoon.
So, what has this person seen in their life that makes them think that this is a reasonable price?
Whiskey.
What do you mean?
Whiskey.
Oh,
it's the like same principle.
Aged whiskey.
You can't just open a distillery.
I was like, this guy doesn't drink whiskey.
No, but he's like, oh, I see. Because what he's done right is he's come in a sock. And he's gone
for 7 years.
No. Oh, he's done initially. Once. He's right. Done it once, and he's been like, "Who would like to buy this?" And somebody has gone, "Well, absolutely not. That's worthless." And he hasn't been like explained why that's worthless to me. He's gone, say no more. This needs to be aged. And 7 years. 7 years is about when you start selling a whiskey, okay, isn't it?
To get really gross and really earn that explicit tag.
Yeah,
cum doesn't stay like
usable.
Liquid.
Yes.
And after just one use, that is going to be like a dry,
starchy
place to stick your dick in.
Yeah.
After
what's the year's
worth of that? Like, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if you're buying this, is it just for fantasies? Is that the only reason you're buying this?
It could be for spells. I don't know.
Like, see, that's what I mean. Like, unless you're a witch doctor, why are you purchasing this? Because I don't think anyone's into this. I don't think anyone's into 7 years of cum sock.
Could it be like at MoMA?
What do you mean?
Like,
down
Mona? Like, could I stage an exhibition down at Mona?
Do you think that?
Like, is David Walsh getting behind me?
So, do you think?
How would you display these cum socks?
Stick them to the wall.
Is that where they get their artworks from? Is that where they get their artworks from? Well, from Craigslist?
I would say that this is that not where? This is not too far from the machine that does poos. Like, because that was very lauded.
No, if they make a machine that comes into socks. For 7 years,
and then
there's a bed and it hides it under the bed in a box.
Yeah.
It just cycles through.
Can you fucking imagine the tabloid press about arts going off about arts grants if there was a machine that came into socks as art?
For some reason, I feel like David Walsh gets a pass. I think everyone would be like, "All right, he's a mad billionaire that hollowed out a mountain."
Smells so way better than the shit machine.
Yeah. Have you guys been to the shit machine?
It's disgusting.
It is awful.
And you can like. as you everyone knows the shit machine's there, and you're like, oh, I wonder where the shit machine is. And then you like get a bit lower and lower, and you're like, it's done this. Ooh, yeah. I bet the shit machine's over there.
But like, you get within like one level of the shit machine, you're like, ah, I'm close to the shit machine.
And there are all these other people's artworks that are like sharing the same space as the shit machine.
That must be like a dud. And
so you associate their work with shit.
With the stench of human feces.
The stink of robot feces. Yeah.
Because you can imagine, right, like, we've delved into the dark, dark corners of Gumtree, and there is an
Gumtree.
And there is like an innovative side to this, where you can imagine if someone was like, I have built a machine that poos, we would laugh at it, and we would be like, oh, this man's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Fucking somebody comes to David Walsh with that. It's worth, I don't know.
Well, look, if you would like to email artistic billionaire David Walsh and ask him if he wants 7 years of cum socks, and if he's going to offer more than $6,000 for it, mate, I'll snap this up right now. It's an investment for us.
Yeah, I don't think he got wealthy by paying $6,000 for over 20 cum socks, to be fair.
Do you get the box as well?
It's a good question.
What color do you think the sock is?
By now? What color did it start?
Oh, it's, I don't, it'd be an off yellow now, surely.
Yeah, I think whatever.
It's going to be moldy too, right?
Well, on that note, let us move on because I am so upset now. I do not want to do this podcast anymore. I think that is potentially the most disgusting thing we've had on the podcast. And we've had some real filth.
70 plus episodes, yeah. Andrew, do you have one that you'd like to share with the class?
I've tried very, very hard to be as big a part of this podcast as possible.
Well, you brought snacks.
That's right.
And
shit
also,
ones.
you've brought classifieds, which is a rarity for guests to do, and we appreciate it.
So last night as I went to bed, I'm like, I've just got to find some fucked classifieds.
Yep.
How do you do such a thing? Mm-hmm. So I started looking for some dumb keywords. Mm-hmm. I typed fuck into Gumtree. Nothing came up.
Yeah, rookie error.
I typed sex into Gumtree.
Oh, yeah.
A few things came up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really glad I did that because it immediately tried to work out what kind of person I was and started targeting ads to me.
Uh-huh.
And
fuck sex.
Was adult root finder.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, it's a real ad. And it's www.rootsnear.me.
Uh-huh.
Seeking an adult fun on your postcode? Roots on your doorstep. Join free. That's a real ad.
Wow.
Someone paid for that.
So someone paid for a listing for roots on your doorstep possibilities, right? So I can, okay.
Do you know a friend of mine registered the domain mywife.left? No, mywifeleft.me for like $15 and ended up selling it for literally like, I think, 20 cum socks worth. Like, I think it was like six. I think it was like $6,000 that he ended up offloading it.
Oh, you should. Oh. For the rest of the episode, at the very least, we should only talk as the currency of cum socks.
Yeah, because that will mean that like it'll be. It means I can't. I can't delete it. It'll be much like the cum socks themselves. Load bearing.
Very good.
So what's the copy of this ad?
That's the entire target. That's a little bit of spice.
Okay.
That's not even the real ad. That's a legitimate advertisement for a business.
Oh,
I assume.
Targeted
advertising. I found one funny, cute one, which we can just buzz through, and it's for as new men are from Mars, women are from Venus board game.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally not a board game. Traditionally a book.
Mm-hmm.
A novel?
Well, no. I mean, if you read the ad, you'll know that it's been inspired by John Gray's best-selling book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And the member who is selling it is Icy Dreams with a Z.
Uh-huh.
Good.
All pieces and cards and board are in mint condition. And the most exciting thing about this ad is his description of it. Outrageous game that will change the way you see the opposite sex.
Oh!
And I was like, okay, cool. That'll earn me like a participation badge. Absolutely. So I was like, oh, at least he tried.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Then I came across this great one. And I found an extremely long-winded one, which maybe I don't know if you ever want to use that. I think it would take about 10 minutes just to read out the entire ad. Yeah. But let's do this short one. This is for a 2.4 meter, 1-inch beer bong.
Wow, 2. Okay, yep.
2.4 meter by 1 inch. Okay, so it's a long pipe.
Sean on the Central Coast, and he says, made to the highest standards of Australian plumbing. Can withstand the punishments from your average bender all the way to splendor. Can hold about 3 tinnies and has been known to buckle anyone who attempts the limits of its capacity.
3 tinnies.
It isn't named, so it comes ready to be a part of your squad.
Oh.
Condition, used.
Yeah, well.
$40.
$40.
So, I grew up in the Shire. No listeners know this. Mm-hmm. And I have some rowdy high school friends. So, I'm no stranger in my younger days to a beer bong.
Beer bongs are universal, aren't they?
Yes, but I went to school with some people who went on to become some very successful engineers. And uh-huh. some of the, I think every Every sort of bro-y group in their early 20s or late teens has done the elaborate beer bong thing on a camping trip, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you think, Seb? Why does this guy think his beer bong...
I looked at the picture before and it had like a... it has a valve. So you know how you usually hold a beer bong with your thumb?
Yep.
This has actually a valve on the side that you can turn. Which is an innovation that I think is important.
Because it's capable of holding three tinnies worth.
Yeah, I mean that's...
As he specifies.
No, but my understanding of the sort of next level beer bong is not the... It's not the long hose variety. It's the funnel variety.
Why?
This is both. This has a funnel at the top of a long hose.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best of all worlds. I see. Because the funnel allows for when you crack the tinnies, it allows for the gas to escape so you can drink it quicker because it's less burning on your tongue.
Why doesn't the hose do that?
Because there's less surface area at the top.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So really has got engineering friends who beer bong.
But you're right. Like I remember I had a friend who was really into just making stuff. Mm. And we tried to make a beer bong in high school that he had to like step in and be like, okay, that's going to kill you if you do that. It's basically like we got a funnel. We realized one of the problems with the funnel was there was like a mesh in the funnel to like kind of filter out whatever. Yeah. But it meant that the beer kind of got churned up.
Everything,
So I took out a knife and just kind of stabbed through the thing and like left... Like
bits
a whole
of mesh.
And that's what he said. He's like, have you run anything through that yet? And I was like, no, we're just going to go. He's like, let me just, and like ran like some water through it and then just like demonstrated how many chunks of metal were flying out.
Shards.
What a way to go. I think that would have been pretty, pretty bad.
I think $40 for a beer bong is a pretty good price though. Because if you wanted to be like the rowdy lad at the party who's bringing all the fun times, right? If you're
What's the cutoff?
What?
In age. Like, we're all too old. You have a son.
Child. Oh, like two kids.
20, 22. Yeah. If you're like
early 20s.
Yeah. If you're
mature to a yard glass.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same basic principle, isn't it? That's so true. It's like we see a 40-year-old with a beer bong. We're like, oh my God, that's the saddest shit I've ever seen. We see like a 40-year-old with a yard glass. We're like, best prime minister ever. Prime ministerial. Like, God, that's so funny. So for those of you who don't know, if you've never spoken to an Australian, we have this thing where like, Our prime minister, before he was prime minister, held the record for sculling a yard glass.
Beer bongs.
Yes, the most beer bongs on the floor of parliament.
He came in a sock and sold it on eBay.
So his name is Bob Hawke, and he was a prime minister in like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s in Australia.
Yeah.
In Australia.
Just late 80s.
Late 80s?
Yeah.
No, he was into the 90s.
All right.
And he, because he was rolled by Keating in like 93.
All right.
Anyway, or 92. Whatever. Anyway, not important. But
I hate it when podcasts get political.
When he was in Oxford or Cambridge, he was at some like elite educational institution in the UK. And
yeah, I've been to that pub and there's like a plaque there where he did it. And
was the plaque there before he was Prime Minister?
The plaque was there before he did it, which is odd. really gave him the kick he needed.
Do you think, because it's that thing of, you know, the end of the movie where they freeze frame and jump up and it's like, that little boy went on to, et cetera, et cetera.
That's so true. That's like the punchline of Animal House. It's like him like going blur and then it's like, did this, went on to be Prime Minister of Australia. And it's true.
Yeah.
But my point was, he did this thing and it's like one of those things that like comedians really like talking about because it's like, how Aussie is this? And it's like a really easy punchline. But the result is Bob Hawke is now about 91 years of age.
And still sculling beers at the cricket.
Okay, so not only is he 91 years of age, but he is like outwardly somebody who has struggled with alcohol his entire life.
Yes.
And like had to quit drinking for a while and like all this sort of stuff. And yet like, you'll say like he's 91 years old. They'll put a fucking camera on him at the cricket. And then like, he'll like, you know, you can see that he really doesn't want to fucking do it.
And some 17-year-old will hand him a beer and he'll be like,
this is what's going to kill him. How are we okay?
Best Prime Minister ever.
Like, leave the man alone. It's like that's probably. I reckon that was probably his Faustian bargain. Like, you can be Prime Minister of Australia and like be kind of known, like really fondly remembered as not only a good Prime Minister but kind of a beloved one. And
but every time someone hands you a beer, you'll scull.
You have to scull it. Oh my God, Michael Hing, do you have one?
Yes. Now this one was sent in by several people, and it's been making the rounds of Twitter. So it's one of the internet famous classifieds.
Yeah.
And I won't read out the title.
Some of the people who've sent it in are Warren Tegg.
Mitchell Barry sent it in. A few people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone.
It's a mainstream classified.
Exactly. This is from Austin, Texas.
This is like when Triple J just plays like, I don't know.
Fucking anything these days. No, Triple J is not what it used to be if you ask me.
Ben, name a cool band.
Come on, do it.
Name a band.
A band?
Yep.
Sam Cooke. Hang on, we're going to cut that.
Oh, I thought that was pretty good.
There we go.
So the text reads as follows. I am blessed to have over 400 gallons of gasoline.
Can we do a quick conversion to that?
I was expecting cum.
I don't know.
It's nature's cum in many ways.
I don't want money. Okay. I am only looking to exchange up to 15 gallons for anal sex.
Uh-huh.
Me giving it to you.
Okay.
That's the way the anal sex is going to go.
Yep.
Both men and women are welcome, but the men need to be very attractive as that is not my preferred sex.
Okay.
I will wear a condom and use organic lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
So he will not be using the oil.
The gasoline?
Yeah. Well. There will be no filming or photos. Now that you've said that, it really feels like they're going to be filming in photos.
For some reason I believe him. He's been so honest about everything else though.
I don't want anyone else to know either, so let's just agree to keep this hush.
No pythons.
Yeah. If you're interested, send pics so I know if it is worth it. All right. Now, so the important thing here is he's exchanging gallons of gasoline... 15 gallons of gasoline.
Did he say 400 gallons of gasoline?
He's got 400 gallons, but each time he's going to exchange 15 gallons. So
that's a long-term proposition.
Hold on. This is very similar to the cum sock ratio. Because we worked out that, 15 cum socks worked out at $400 each. Yeah.
This is...
He says at 400 gallons, he's selling 15 at a time.
Oh, my God.
Repetition in numbers. The truth is out there.
Right, settle down, John Nash.
So, I've just done a couple of quick sums on my computer. Mm-hmm. And 400 gallons of gasoline... 15 gallons of gasoline, mm-hmm. This is US liquid gallons, mm-hmm. is about 56 litres.
And I would say that is a bit more than a full tank.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So what you're doing is basically you get a full tank of gas.
Unless it's like an SUV, in which case... Yeah,
a full tank of gas... For anal sex. So what's that, like $50 for a full tank of petrol?
Yeah,
about that. $45, $50.
$60.
Yeah. For anal sex. Now
there's something really, I feel like this guy's missed a step. Like the world in which we barter sex for gas has like an apocalypse in the middle there. And I think like look things are pretty grim, but I feel like he's missed that step. Or he's trying to break into the sex for gasoline market to be like kind of a market leader, and then when everybody's doing it, yeah.
But the thing is, like, having spent a lot of time on Gumtree and mm-hmm. Craigslist looking mm-hmm. at sex ads, I will tell you that $60 for anal sex is very, very cheap.
Mm.
So you're looking for someone who wants gas more than they want money. So this is some sort of presumably petrol smuggler.
It's somebody who cannot convert money to gasoline.
Yes, exactly.
For whatever reason.
This is a guy who's been banned from the petrol station for having too much anal sex there or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Got, no more.
You're right. It's a very niche person.
So $60 for anal sex. Ish. $60 for anal sex. And this person... And they're also getting very picky. They're also said both men and women are welcome, but the men need to be very attractive as that is not my preferred sex.
I don't know if he knows how that works, right? Like, I guess everybody's on the Kinsey scale somehow, but
sure.
Like, I don't think that, like...
Mate, a butt's a butt.
Yeah, I guess
so. I think that's kind of how... Like, is he going to make him put a sheet over?
I'm just
over
saying that if you're like, oh, no, I don't like guys, it's not because you haven't seen the most beautiful man yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know about that. I think there's a point at which... someone becomes so attractive that they transcend...
That's true. Like, people say that about people like Bowie, for example. Not now, because he's dead, but... Like
some people say it now.
Yeah.
Famous ones like your Brad Pitts and your George Clooney's and whatnot.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that that there's a chance that he hasn't thought it through.
Yeah, he's also going to wear a condom, so you won't get...
That's what makes me believe that this guy's legit. Like, that he's kind of laid out quite a few... quite reasonable, like he's addressing preemptively addressing concerns,
and there's also organic lubricant being used. So presumably, this man is
If that's what seals the deal for you,
my worry is that,
is
that organic lubricant aren't. I'm not an expert on
you've
sexual
never fucked,
matters.
So
never fucked.
Yeah,
just sucks.
Organic lubricants generally
mm-hmm.
Involve like natural oils.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use those with condoms because they wear away the actual rubber.
Oh, really? So you're saying that he's contradicting himself?
Well, I think this is actually a train wreck about to I mean, I know that when you read this ad, you think it's everything's fine. I'm sorry. This is a man just trying to trade anal sex for gasoline.
It's that standard transaction.
But unless you're using a water-based lubricant, I think it can be very, very difficult.
My concern, or the question that I kind of have is like, where did he get 400 gallons of gasoline? That's an insane amount of gasoline, right?
And if you let him enjoy your butt, like, I don't know, 10 times, how are you going to take all that gas home? Like, what?
Oh, do you think you could? Do you reckon you could go to him and be like, "I'll take the lot"?
Yeah.
Or do you think he was like, "Oh, I was sort of thinking I'd hold on to most of this," and then, "Oh, all right," because he hasn't said maximum one per customer.
No.
How do you get like 400? Feels like it wouldn't be a tanker, but it would be like,
yeah.
What does that look
it's
like?
It's over. What's
got a big swimming pool full of gasoline,
and it's rapidly evaporating.
Yeah. I mean, it's over 1,000 liters of gasoline.
You can't store that. Without proper equipment.
Yeah, wait, it's probably...
Does this guy just work at a petrol station?
And he's done at the Caltex.
And he's done the maths, and he's like, I can skim 400 gallons before...
Yeah.
Before the manager comes back.
Or before it becomes obvious.
No, he's like, no one's going to want the full 400.
Yeah. Also, the weirdest thing is, because he's only offering 15 gallons at a time, the fact that he's boasting about how much he has is pointless. It's irrelevant.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. So
I think it's like, imagine how many times I could have sex with you.
That's true. Yeah.
Unless it's like convenient for you to stop on the way at work, like the petrol station's always
that's
busy.
That's also
so you think this will just become part of your regular routine.
But that's the other thing. Like unless this guy lives very close to you, this is a logistical nightmare.
Yeah. Because you got to fly to tech. You got to fly to Austin to get it done.
This has been a real mystery. Can I give you another mystery?
Absolutely.
So this one was sent in by Sam Silcock.
Thank you, Sam.
Who's just hitting it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. What are your search terms, Sam?
Yeah.
Share them with me.
Because sometimes he goes like in LA. Sometimes he goes to like Melbourne. Like he's all over the show. It's great.
All over.
So this is a misconnections. Okay. Okay, so it's, I saw you dismantling a security camera. Woman for two men, okay? I saw you lying on the roof with your buddy smoking below you. You were dismantling a security camera on the medical center. I looked at you both for a second, and then I guess I could feel you both intensely staring at me because I looked back and got creeped out. Maybe we made eye contact once or twice, but I just want to give you the heads up that I'm not interested and would never fuck either of you. I was just sketched out by the strange situation. Have a good one. That's a misconnection.
At least it's the opposite of misconnection. Because usually they're like, I saw you dismantle the security camera, and you think it's going to be, and I saw you there, and the way you dismantled that security camera made me want to fuck you.
No,
but in this instance, it's just a warning shot.
This is a misconnection in the most pure sense. It's just a misconnection.
The should stay missed.
Well, or it's just like, I saw you.
I don't think I didn't see what you were doing.
Do what you will with it.
She's just rubbing salt into the wound for those poor guys. Those poor security camera dismantlers.
Do you think See, I thought there was something criminal about this, but maybe they were just like security camera.
They're presumably like workers. They're presumably they weren't robbing a bank or something.
Well,
I guess when was the last time you got your security camera dismantled?
That's a good point. I mean, but she says like I was just sketched out by the strange situation, so she clearly thinks they're up to no good.
Oh, I see. Maybe the reason they looked at you then isn't because they wanted to fuck you, it's because they thought you saw them doing a crime.
That's true.
Is that a possibility?
See, I reckon this is, and if you are somebody who dismantles legally security cameras on the reg, do write in, because I actually imagine this would be a bit of a problem. Like, if your job is doing something that if anyone but you does is illegal, I think you're going to cop a lot of shit.
Yes.
Like, I think you need to wear, like, layers and layers and layers of, like, fluoro vests and lanyards and...
Maybe it's a good way to meet women.
Or maybe, not this woman. I'll tell you that much for
free.
She's not into it. In fact, she's frankly sketched out by the strange situation.
I think that this woman is doing a service to people everywhere. Because I think constantly this thing happens where, you know, an interaction happens in place and creepy men are like, yeah, she wants to fuck me. And this person is taking a stand and saying, no, you've misinterpreted this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, we made eye contact for
A third of a second.
Because that's just how eyes work. Sometimes they're looking in the same place. This does not mean I'd like to have sex with you.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a good one. I think this is a real good
one. Yeah, it's a shame this can't be just taken as read, but...
we weren't looking at you. I wish there was footage to prove that we weren't looking at you.
But unfortunately... Oh, my word. Well, this has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've chatted.
You finished your pasta?
I finished my pasta. We talked about...
Some horrible things.
I'm very excited that I get to be on the grossest episode yet. That's great.
Yeah. That really...
The bar has been set, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, we haven't... Because we've done this over like 15 years or whatever. Yeah. And
50 million years.
Yeah, and we've had so many gaps between... I don't remember half our episodes. So
no.
If you do think that there has been a grosser episode, do get in touch.
There was that episode where the both of you came into socks.
For 7 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was. We recorded it in real time.
Like Boyhood.
Oh, man. Do you have anything to plug?
When's this coming up?
This will be in 2 weeks.
No, just kidding. I've got 3 podcasts.
Yep.
Get in.
Michael Hing is going to be a guest on one of them very soon. We're doing a live.
That must be nice for him.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. He was definitely like, I had like 2 people in mind. He was by far the best option of the 2.
Wow, that's nice.
So Hey Fam is the name of my comedy podcast with my friend Angus Truscott, Comedy Pop Culture.
Mm.
And I do one that's just all about comic books called Serious Issues. Mm-hmm. And then one about the Sydney food industry called The Mitchin.
Cool.
I've listened to all 3. I'm a big fan of all 3. I've been on Hey Fam before.
Yeah, you did the
video
game.
We did the video game wrap-up episode last year, I believe.
Yeah, I should have brought my Switch here. We could have been playing Mario Kart this entire episode.
Oh, we could have, and no one would have been the wiser. Michael Hing, do you have any anything to plug?
Yes, by the time this comes out...
I will be dead.
If you're hearing this. My Fringe Festival show will be basically happening. So come along to that. It's called Proud Boys.
Where is it?
It's at the Factory Theatre. It's... on like Wednesday, Friday, Sunday or something like that. Mm-hmm, I don't know the exact days. Mm-hmm. But find on the Fringe Festival website. But it's like the first hour of stand-up I've done like in like a year. And it's all new stuff, so come on.
Great.
Mm-hmm. How many Cumfield socks does it cost to get in?
It would be, I guess, like one, I don't know.
One toe?
It's like $10 or $15. I don't know. It's real cheap.
Okay. And also,
please do
not send a mere thread.
Yeah.
A mere cum-covered thread.
Please do not send any cum-covered toes to the Factory Theatre.
Oh, man. Oh, but until next week.
Bye!
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.